All right, so we are starting a brand new series. It's actually kind of a continuation of Abundant Life, but we are going to start a brand new kind of topic and thought process. And our new series is called Crushing It. Crushing It. Everybody say Crushing It.
Crushing It.
Crushing It. That's what we are going to be talking about. Crushing It. Man, there's so many ways that people use that term. Like, there's memes everywhere about crushing it. You know, especially there's that one with the baby, you know, and he's got the fist, and he's crushing it, right? And we talk about it in life. Like, you know, how are you doing? Man, I'm crushing it. You know, that means I'm doing fantastic, right? I'm doing above, you know, most other people, right? I'm just in this, whatever this thing I'm doing, I'm crushing it, right? How are you doing? Did you go fishing? Yeah, I went fishing. What'd you do? Man, I crushed it yesterday. That means, you know, I caught, you know, more than two. So crushing it. Actually, there was actually a book called Crushed It and Crushing It. I think it was a couple of books. And actually, it's a book on how to build brand, personal brands. But this series that we're going to be teaching on is talking about how you can crush it in this life. I don't believe that God's called us to be overcome. I don't believe God's called us to let the world run over us. I don't believe that God's called us to have the enemy eat our lunch on a daily basis, right? We are called to crush it, right? And he's not called us to just barely get along, right? So in Genesis chapter 3, I didn't give you this scripture, so that's on me. It talks about when Adam and Eve sinned, and God starts handing out he curses, like the serpent, right? And he talks about the man, like, yeah, thanks, Adam. You will till the ground by the sweat of your brow. Thanks for that. But he talks to the serpent, and he says this. He says, cursed are you above all the livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And then it talks about he, which we believe is a prophecy of Jesus. He, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. He talks about the enemy. He talks about there's going to be a day, one day, when the seed of that woman, Satan, is going to crush your head, right? And he's going to bruise your heel. Right? Talking about Jesus. And so we know that the Bible talks about there is a day where that serpent, his head is going to be crushed. Well, that happened on Calvary. Yeah. That happened with the death, burial, and resurrection of our amazing Lord Jesus when he rose from the dead and he led captivity captive and he crushed the power of the devil. So really, in all truth, it's not really you and I that's crushing it, is we're implementing the fact that Jesus has already crushed it. And so we're going to talk about crushing it this morning. We're going to talk about for the next few weeks on how do you live that out in your everyday life? Because if you look around, there's not a whole lot of people. They may be crushing it financially, but they're not crushing it in their life. They got all kind of other stuff going on. Psalm 72 in verse 3 says this, may the mountains bring prosperity to the people, and the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressors. We know that this world has a way of getting you on the ropes. How many of you have been on the ropes? Maybe many of you have been on the ropes this week. In the last few weeks. Well, the truth is, like we've said in times past, every story that we read, every novel that you read, every movie, every Marvel, right? Every Marvel hero, there's a Thanos, right? There's an enemy. Every story that we love has an enemy because our own story, we have an enemy. It's built into us that we know that we have an enemy. And I want to talk about our enemy just for a minute. This is not one of those, Okay, I'll just be honest. So as I was praying about this message, I was like, wow, that's crushing it. That's really good. I go, what we'll do, Lord, and say that since that's such a great idea, I'm going to tell you how we're going to implement your great idea, God. As we're going to have this nice little cute little thing. We do spirit life. We do a spirit life class. And I said, this will be like a spirit life class. And you know how I do my... The Lord's like, no, 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 no. This is Sunday morning. And I went, this is awesome. So we're going to talk about how you can walk free and stay free from every power of the devil that would try to oppress your life. And let me tell you, it is possible. It is possible that you can, through the power of Jesus, crush it. Yes. Amen? Right. And so, Revelation chapter 12. And let's get to the bad before we get to the really good. Revelation chapter 12. It says this. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, when the dragon that he saw that he had been hurled to where? The earth. Where are we? How about that? They pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Who is this male child that he could be talking about here? Jesus. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments and hold fast to their testimony of Jesus. We see that the enemy, we see the devil and his, I'm not going to totally go into that this morning, but the devil and his minions, if you will, have been hurled to the earth, right, to wage war on first the male child, Jesus. Right? Do we remember? They remember the whole thing where they tried to kill every male child. The devil was going to wipe him out one way or the other. And they fled to Egypt, right? And so the devil always tried, and he tried to get Jesus over and over and over, and he could not do it. So now the offspring of Jesus, the offspring of what Jesus produced was us, you and me. So now he wages war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God, right? God's commandments, and hold fast to their testimony of Jesus. That, my friends, is you and me. Satan lost his battle with the angels. He was hurled to earth with his angels. That's Revelation 12:9. That means then that right now, there are uncounted numbers of demonic entities on the earth, fallen angels, foul spirits, bent on our destruction, bent on the destruction of the church of Jesus Christ. And how is he, what is his mood? What is the mood of the enemy? The Bible says he's filled, in verse 12, he's filled with fury. He's filled with fury. You have an enemy, and he's trying to steal your freedom. He's trying to kill your heart and destroy your life. He's filled with fury. See, the question is not, is the devil attacking me, but where and when is the devil attacking me? Because, friends, he is. He is. He is attacking you. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of where. Where is he attacking you? See, you are in his crosshairs. Happy Sunday morning. And this world, with all of its trouble and all of its difficulties and all of the horror that we see on the news and the horror that you hear from your neighbors and the things that you deal with your kids and the battles in your marriage and all that stuff. There's a mind behind the madness. The Bible teaches that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember? This is not a flesh and blood battle that we fight. And really the devil's number one lie. You know what the devil's number one lie is? I'm not here. I'm not here. Listen, that's your wife. That's your husband. That's your kids. I was driving yesterday down 75, and I was in the fast lane. The fast lane. It's a Saturday morning. We went to go get my son one of his birthday presents. And it wasn't that expensive. I don't know why my voice cracked. His birthday present. We went to go get his birthday present. It was across town. It was a Facebook. We bought it off a Facebook yard sale thing. And so we're driving down the road. I'm in the fast lane, and there's this truck in front of me. And the truck's not going fast. Isn't that annoying? You know what I mean? I'm like going down the road, and like this truck is in front of me. And, you know, and I don't know about you. Is anybody like me? Like, you do the Google Maps thing, you know, or you do your Waze or whatever, and it says, you know, the time you're supposed to be there. How many of y'all try to break that? Yeah, exactly. How many of you are like, no, you underestimate me, Waze. That's right. Yeah, she said, that's not a time that you're going to get there. That's the time to beat. Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. So I'm going there, and there's this truck in my way, and I'm looking at my time. I'm like, come on, I just lost a minute. You feel me, you know. So I'm behind this truck, and I'm like, oh, man, golly. And so this truck, and it got clear over on the right, and I watched this truck moved over to the right-hand lane, and it wasn't the truck. It was a smaller car in front of the truck. So I was like, apologize to the other truck. Now I'm mad at this guy. See, the truth is, that's the way we see things so many times. We're blaming the truck, and it's not the truck's fault, it's the car in front of that truck. We're blaming the people around us, and our situation, and our culture, and that goofy president, if that goofy Congress, and that, you know, that senator that just is crazy, and blah, blah, blah. And if you don't open your eyes and see, it's not that person. There's an enemy.
Yes.
And my enemy yesterday was that little car. See, we don't see. And what I hope to do over the next few weeks is to help us see, to open our eyes that we can see the truth. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There's things going on. There's things going on around you that you don't understand. Listen, that person, that coworker who gets on your nerves, that coworker is always rude. That coworker that, man, every, you know, it's like every time you try to be nice, and they just are just mean right back. Let me ask you this question. What could the enemy be doing in her life? And let me use this word, that's wounded her in such a way that that's her defense mechanism for her life. Understand?
Yeah.
Like there's things all around us that we don't understand. Right? Boy, you know, there's a book. I don't know why I'm going into this. This is like way down the road. But there's a book called Love and War. It's by John and Stacey Eldridge. And it actually deals with these kind of things. That the things that we brought up, that you know, Julie and I mean, we've had our moments, haven't we, babe? We've been 22 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, 20. You don't need to lose. Yeah, it's like you lose track after 20 and go, oh, I need to remember the 25th. That's a big one. But so after that, you realize there's things in me that she can say, especially early on in our marriage, that triggered things in me, that were brokenness things in me, that the enemy had put in me through difficulties, through abandoned, whatever those things are, right? And then that she unknowingly trigger in me, right? And the enemy can get in there in a marriage, and it can, this is not marriage night. And what he can do, what he'll do, listen, what he'll do is he'll she's just doing the best she can, right? But it triggers something in me, and I fly off the handle. And it goes both ways. See, the enemy is really good at deception. He's really good at working this whole thing out and working people against people. That's why he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's about principalities and powers. But I have good news. The good news is this. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. Remember we said a couple of weeks ago that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive, right? For he forgave us all of our sin, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. And he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Here we go. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? I feel like Paul, when he was writing, that's a good day right there. Let me tell you what happened. The Bible says he disarmed the principalities through the cross. Jesus disarmed the devil and his demons by the cross of the Lord Jesus. He disarmed them. He took away the power. He took away the authority. And Jesus now holds the keys, right? And if that wasn't good enough, he made a public spectacle of the enemy. This scripture is a military term, especially in Roman times where they would go off and they would win battles, right? They would go off and they would win the war. And this is what they would do. They would come back and they would have a parade. They would have a parade of the defeated. They would have, so like the first part of the parade, there'd be like, they would shout jumpers and people blowing horns and everything. And then comes the captives. Jesus led captivity captive, right? He led the captive, goes, hey, look what we did. These poor guys right here. And they're all in chains and they're all bowed, right? That's the picture he's giving. These are the demons that battle you in such a terrible way. Chained, bound, and Jesus leading the procession. You know what else comes with that parade? All the spoils of the enemy. They bring them right into the center of the city. So I don't know about you. There's a few things that the devil has stolen from me. I'm going to take them back. There's areas in my life. There's areas in your life that God is going to take them back. There's disappointments that God's going to take back for you. He's going to take the spoils of the enemy and he's going to put them in the hands of you. Right? Because he led captivity captive. That's the picture. That's the image. That is the dominance. Like this scripture is saying, he humiliated the devil. He humiliated the authorities and the powers. He didn't just barely beat them and now they just have bare. No, he fully defeated them, so much so, let me just drag them through the streets and let me show you. And the plunder. And then all the animals. They take all the animals back then in the day. They'd like if they found lions and stuff like that, and they say, well, let's grab them too. That's pretty cool. Like everything. John, 1 John 3, verse 8 says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. This reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. For this reason, I always say it, and y'all probably get tired of all my jokes, but I want to put that, one year I'm going to put that on my Christmas card. Like, you know, Merry Christmas. You know, this is the reason Jesus came, little baby in the manger, to destroy the devil's work, right? Merry Christmas. To destroy. That word there, destroy, to destroy the devil's works, means to loose, to unbind, to unravel, to dissolve the devil's work. He came, Jesus came to dissolve the devil's work in your life and in my life. We don't have to sit back and let the devil run roughshod over you anymore. Those days are over. Those days are over. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. And I'm going to run through these pretty quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all this surpassing power is of God and not from us. Watch this. Watch what Paul says. In this life, when, you know, all this stuff that Paul dealt with, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. You hear that tenacity in Paul's voice? You hear that victory in Paul's voice? Like, this, nothing's going to mess with me. I don't care what happens to me. I may be knocked. Another translation says, I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. It's like, I've used this example before. It's like the, man, my son. My son is taking MMA. Like, he is like learning how to do like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Why do you ever say that? That's a crazy word. Yeah, like all this sparring, and he's like, and he goes, hey dad, watch this. I'm like, whoa. He's like, he's learning how to do all this stuff. He goes, hey dad, you want me to show you how to do the triangle? I said, what's that? He said, well, it's where I choke you out with my leg. No. I don't want you to do that. He's getting good. Like the other day, you know, you're like wrestling around with your kid. Hey, he went, poof, pinned me against the wall. It's like, whoa. I go, wow, this is happening. Like, this is now, how many of you dads, you remember, like when you had sons, and the son, now my son can kick my butt. Like, you know what I mean? You know? So, you know, you know, there is that, like, I see you shaking your head. There is that point where, like, if he hits me in the nose, there's that, the little bell, you know, the little ding ding, it's on. Like, I'm, God, please. I'm just like, ugh. But you ever seen MMA? Like, guys, I don't know, some of you women too, but you ever seen MMA? Like, they call it ground and pound, right? They get them on the ground, and it's like, blah, 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 until the, like, the referee from across the ring comes over and goes, all right, stop. That's the picture. He says, I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Yeah. I may be on the ground, and I may be being pummeled. But you know what? It's almost like the guy who's been on the bottom, he goes, I'm winning. Like, that's the attitude. That's the winning victory. I am not crushed. I am crushing it in life. Yes. That's the attitude that we can have through the power of Jesus. Through what Jesus, we don't have to let the devil, remember? No, not to me, you don't. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000, but not to me, you don't. Right? Romans chapter 8. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. God, get that. You know, sometimes we've heard that so much. We've heard that scripture so many times. It's like, blah, wah, wah. We're like the Peanuts teacher, right? Wah, 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 wah. Listen, the one who is in you is the greater one than he that's in the world. What do I have to fear? If God be for me, who can be against me? Right? If the one who crushed it is in me, then I'm crushing it right along with him. Yes. Amen? Yes. Luke chapter 10. This is one of my, I love this scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says the 70, Jesus gave them power, right? Jesus sent the 72 out with power, right? To go out and cast out devils and heal the sick. And in verse 17, it says, then the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demon submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Jesus is like, I saw that happen. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample over snakes, scorpions, and to overcome all the power. Everybody say all. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits are submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now Jesus gets them all together. Now remember, let's not get all demon crazy. Remember, the greatest thing is your name's written in heaven. Don't forget about that, right? The greatest thing is, like we talked about earlier, you have relationship with the Father. That's the greater thing, right? And then Jesus goes, he turns, and he says, and at this time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father. Like, okay, just picture this for a second. Like, this is how it went down. Like, they're like, are you kidding me? Like, the demons are subject to us. Like, Jesus, like, everything you said would happen, it happened. We saw blind eyes open. We saw demons flee. We saw the power of God work through us. We saw all that. And Jesus is like, yeah, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You have the power and authority to go trample over all the works of the devil. And Jesus says, hey, look, no, but look. He tells him, like, look, it's more important that your name's written in heaven. But then Jesus goes off by himself. He goes, God, that was awesome. Father, it's working. They're doing it. Yeah. The Bible says he rejoiced in his spirit. You understand that God is for you having authority. He's for you having victory. He's not like holding it like a carrot in front of like the carrot and the donkey, right? That's tilling the field because I just get the carrot. I just get the... If I could just get the carrot, then I could have victory. If I could just listen to one more message, maybe I could bite the devil. It's in you.
Yes,
Jesus is the glory, it's the pleasure of God to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
To walk in victory. Yes. To walk like he tells them in one place, he says, you're acting like mere men. Yes. Jesus says, I've created you something different. I've made you into something different. He says, Father. He said, I praise you, Father, the Lord of heaven, because you've hidden the things from the wise and learned, and you revealed them to little children. Father, he says, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. He calls it, God was pleased to do it. Mark chapter 16. He says this, Jesus, the Great Commission. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Guys, listen, that's what I call crushing it. Crushing it. You, of all of this stuff, remember I said that the enemy was hurled down out of heaven during the fall of Satan. Hurled down to earth, and he's wages war on you. Those are truths. That's the absolute truth. You don't have to look too far to find it. You don't have to look too far to see how the devil ravages people. But Jesus said, he gave you authority. He gave you power. He gave you the very Spirit of God on the inside of you. God himself living in you. Jesus said, the greater things that you'll do. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you think that's great? That ain't nothing. Because it's going to be greater when I go to the Father and send the Spirit to you. And the authority that you'll have. The Bible teaches that if Satan only knew what would have happened. Because then Satan only had to deal with Jesus. Because Jesus shows up on the scene. And demons are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, hang on a second. Like, we've been running free for a long time. Now, Jesus shows up, and he's got authority, and we do what he says. Let's kill him. So they kill him, and Jesus creates you and me. And he multiplied themselves. You ever killed an anthill? like 15 more pop up around you. You ever do that? You're like, David, you're using the wrong stuff. But did I just relate Jesus to an ant? But see, the Bible says if the devil only knew, he would have never killed the King of Glory. Because now, where there was one, it's spread out all over. You have the power over the dark, over every darkness. But you and I have to exercise that authority. It is our job to exercise that authority. We have to enforce the victory, or the devil will just run roughshod over all of us. What do I want you to know today? I want you to know that you don't just fight that person that's driving you crazy. You don't fight that truck that's in front of you. There's the little car that's causing a lot of trouble. There's a demonic force probably somewhere around that deal. And when the other thing I want you to know is this. We fail when we use natural weapons to fight a supernatural enemy. We fail when we use natural methods to defeat a supernatural being. So we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. And it's going to be good. You know what, though? I'll say this. I always know when you deal with stuff like this, and those of you who are part of, what's the name of the ministry? HSE. You know that the week of HSE coming up, yeah, look out. And I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about, well, you know, Lord, you just pray, like, there's going to be pushback as we teach on this kind of stuff. So there's kind of a warning. However, what I felt like the Lord spoke to me was, he goes, so what? Right. Did your power leave because of the pushback? No. The Lord said, what do you do? And no kidding, the Lord just said, push him back. When the devil pushes, push him back. Right? So I want us to stay on our guard. And I want us to be open to what God has for us. And there may be things. No, I'll say this. There probably are things that you're going to realize, even in your own life through this teaching, that you're going to say, wow, I didn't really realize that was kind of like a stronghold in me. I didn't really realize, and this may not be just for your coworker. Your coworker could be you and your issues and your things that are going on. And could you be open, is my heart for you as we go forward. Could you be open to, Lord, what are the things that are hindering me? What are the things that the enemy's using in me to cause me to be less than what God's designed me to be? To walk in the victory. I almost don't even like to use that word anymore, just victory, because it's been used so much. But it is victory. Overwhelmingly conquer, right? To walk in the fullness, the victory that what God's called you to walk in. Amen? We're going to do this. I'm tired of the devil punching people in the mouth. I'll be on the ground and I'm going, I'm winning. It's time for us to stand up and get in my son's MMA stance and be ready to pop the enemy right in the mouth once you see him through the power of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand together. Worship team, you can come on up. Crushing it. First of all, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the authority that's in Jesus. I thank you that the authority doesn't rest in me, but Jesus It's in your name. The authority is really Jesus. You have all authority. And I thank you that you've given us your name to exercise that authority. So I just declare, I just pray over this congregation in Jesus' name. I bind every demonic force that would try to come and push back against this message. In Jesus' name, I declare the blood of the Lamb over this church. I declare, God, your presence and your power and your authority. God, I put, God, we just put a hedge of protection, God, around every person in this room. And God, I plead the blood of Jesus, the full work of the cross over this congregation in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for your authority. Just say this with me. Say, I have
the authority
through Jesus, and I receive it, with gladness, and confidence, in Jesus' name. Say, I can walk over every power of the devil, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Say, thank you, God. Through Jesus, I'm crushing it. Amen. Amen. Let's keep your heads bowed.